I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Good to be with you. All right, let's do this. We work up the appropriate amount of vitriol for our opponents in a segment every Friday at this time called Five Reasons I Hate You. It's Five Reasons I Hate You. Seth, you ready for Five Reasons I Hate You?
I'm ready for Five Reasons I Hate You. Is this more City of Jacksonville or Jaguars the team?
It can always be a little bit of everything. It's really
this particular one. Is it evenly blended?
It is. By my count, there are a couple of football related ones. Yeah. There's an owner related one and a couple that have to do somewhat with geography, but no direct insults at the City of Jacksonville.
Yeah. I was getting nervous because, you know, I spent a good amount of time.
You got history there. No. Yeah. And obviously, as you have, feel free to disagree with me on any of these, but these are five reasons I'm conjuring up to hate the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, I'm going to be a good child of a divorced parent and know when to just shut my mouth. Be like, okay, yeah, I know you're talking crap about mom right now, dad. I should defend her, but, you know, I know it's good for me. I'll just be quiet.
For the record, I've been to Jacksonville once, and I had a blast there. So I
wait, is that some metaphor about my mom? You son of a bitch.
What the hell?
Had a good time with my mom, did you?
I did. She's a cruel temptress, that Jacksonville. All right, let's get to it here. Five reasons I hate you. The Texans are in Jacksonville. Some of the worst memories as a Houston Texan fan have taken place in Jacksonville.
Oh, God.
Including one of the worst endings to a game for Texan fans that they could think of. Now, the 2010 season, if we go back in the Wayback Machine, that wound up being a bad season. A lot of expectations that the Texans would finally make the postseason that year with Gary Kubiak as the head coach, but the defense was awful. But at this point in the season when this game was taking place, they were 4-4. You know, they were 4-4, so they were still kind of in the mix. They would finish 6-10, and this was a Week 10 game between the Jags and the Texans where the Jags are David Garrard is throwing a Hail Mary into the end zone. All you got to do is bat it down, and instead Glover Quinn bats it into Mike Thomas's hands.
One wide out right, Garrard on the gun. Gets the snap, steps up. Garrard's going to have time to launch it deep. Sims Walker down there and knocked into the hands of the receiver. Touchdown, Jacksonville wins. Oh, my goodness. Thomas with the catch in the end zone. Knocked down into the hands of Thomas. And the Jaguars win on the final play of the game.
All right, Mark Vandermeer on the call. That was tough, man. Poor Glover Quinn. Now, Glover would bounce back to have a hell of a career. As we know, he was a Pro Bowler in Detroit, and he was really good once the Texans moved him to safety here. But that was a bad memory, Seth. I would say the Chris Brown option pass interception in 2009 was in Jacksonville.
Was that 2009?
2009, yes.
That seems almost too recent somehow.
Yeah. 2009. The Thursday night game that ended Gary Kubiak's Texans career was in Jacksonville. That was the night DJ Swearinger went insane with unsportsmanlike conduct penalties.
And let's remember, too, that was in a year where Gary Kubiak had suffered a stroke.
Yeah. On the field.
On the field. Yeah. And I remember various people texting me and DMing me, like from the media, from other cities saying, like, well, they would never fire Kubiak a year he had a stroke, right? And I was like, you got to understand what it's like here, man. It's things are kind of messed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they did. Mostly because DJ Swearinger just DJ Swearinger lost, like, basically lost all control.
Yeah, yeah, two unsportsmanlike conduct, and the team was bad. I mean, it was a confluence of things, but
that was also, wasn't that when Bearded Schaub came in and almost played?
He was doing that thing. No, he came in that game. Keenum started that game, and he brought Schaub in, and that was a theme too. Like, Gary Kubiak could not decide on a quarterback. So that's number five. Number four, they're basically London's team, the Jaguars. Like, where did the interest in this team go sideways? Like, at some, Seth, I know you were on a Jacksonville team early on in your career that was a good football team. You went to an AFC title game. They went to a couple. They went to one while you were there in 1999. Yeah. My hypothesis on why Jacksonville is all of a sudden half Jacksonville, half London's team is because they were spoiled by the early success of the Seth Payne era in the late 90s.
Honestly, I'm always kind of confused as to why people think Jacksonville has, like, these extreme attendance issues compared to other places. They're actually, you know, they are not, like, let's see, 2018 they were 17th in attendance, 2019 they were 22nd in attendance, and they're one of the NFL's smallest markets. It's a small market, and I think the owner took advantage of an opportunity where he owns an English soccer team, but also figured, okay, look, I can grab a portion of an entire continent's NFL fan base here by planting our flag in London. So I don't think it's as much about Jacksonville being such a miserable place for fan attendance or interest or anything, as much as it was a little bit of that, but it was mostly just the owner taking advantage of that opportunity.
Second hypothesis then.
Okay.
They have been one of those stadiums that when they've had attendance issues, they tarp the upper deck.
Right. The problem is they're a small market team with a gigantic stadium.
Yeah.
The old Gator Bowl, which is what that is. Is there another stadium as old as that other than like Soldier Field and some of the historic ones?
Not that I know of.
It's an old stadium. It's massive in that it's not steep. It's, like, wide. So it looks even emptier when it's empty. So, yes, I think the perception, plus the fact that it's in the AFC South and it's Jacksonville, they just don't get paid. People always assume that they're the worst in attendance all the time. And they're not – I mean, they're not great in attendance, but they're not by any stretch of the imagination, like, the very worst every year or anything.
Okay, well, they're still London's team, and I stick by that, and that makes them number four. Number three, I hate the Duval chant. You're chanting the name of your county. Hey, let's chant Harris, Harris, Duval. I hate the Duval chant, but they do get bonus points, kind of, for chanting this at Deshaun Watson at a preseason game this year. I mean, I don't. You sick bleep. You sick bleep. You sick bleep. I mean, I don't approve of the cursing, but I approve of any public verbal haranguing of Deshaun Watson. So I don't like the Duval chant. They slightly made up for it, but I still hate the Duval chant. That's number three for me.
The Duval chant. The one good thing about the Duval chant was it was a TV show that Ted Danson was in.
Becker.
No, The Good Place. It was The Good Place. Oh, okay. There's a character on The Good Place, which is a funny show about basically heaven and hell. But there's a character in there, like a really stupid young kid who just like chants Duval at all the wrong moments.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I don't like it.
Jags fan.
Yeah, but I don't like it. But for now, for our purposes, this is a reason why I hate the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number two, we can't just let the Urban Meyer thing die after a 13-game stint as a head coach. This is a team that hired Urban Meyer to be its head coach. And was I somebody advocating for the Texans to hire Urban Meyer when they hired David Culley? Sure. But they didn't do it. And Urban Meyer wound up being... Partially I'm mad because he makes me look stupid because I wanted Urban Meyer. But let's remind people, he skipped a team playing home to bump and grind at his steakhouse in Ohio. During a week four weekend after a Thursday night game, he tried to make Tim Tebow a tight end at age 33.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yes. He kicked his kicker before a game, like walked up and kicked the guy, called his assistants losers. The assistants that he hired, losers. They're all losers.
I'll tell you what. I feel bad. I feel bad about the way people feel about kickers, like myself included, because honestly, we knew all this stuff about Urban Meyer. It was bad stuff about Urban Meyer. It was just a mess there.
Yeah.
He'd totally been exposed as a fraud and a jerk and all these things. And yet, when the kicker came out with the story about Urban Meyer kicking him, I was like, I'm going to have to see the film on this.
Same.
I don't.
Same.
I'm not so sure I believe your story.
Come on. Toughen up. Kicked you. Big deal. Oh, that's funny.
What a jerk.
Now, it doesn't diminish the fact that Urban Meyer was the worst head coach in the history of the NFL.
I would say, you know what the worst thing about the worst kind of Tebow-related thing having to do with Jacksonville? Because, listen, I played in Jacksonville when, you know, Danny Werfel was a college quarterback, and, like, half the people there were convinced that all you had to do to win the next 18 Super Bowls was to draft Danny Werfel.
Right.
Or, don't you know, you dumbasses? That's what they would say. I give Jacksonville credit for the fan base totally not buying into it, because Tim Tebow is from Jacksonville. I totally gave them credit for not buying into any of the most recent hype about bringing Tebow here. Remember they were going to have a protest at the stadium, and like seven people showed up. It was pathetic, but it was a good display by the city of Jacksonville and Jaguars fans to not buy into it.
Yes, I agree with that. All right, last one here real quick. I'm just not a fan of the handlebar mustache, Shad Khan. I'm not. Raleigh Fingers was able to pull it off, and nobody since then has been able to. So, Shad Khan, you either got to get the, you got to go John McClane style with a bushy mustache, or you got to go barefaced. Sorry, those are the rules. Raleigh Fingers retired the handlebar mustache for me.
I think Shad Khan, I think you got to hand it to Shad Khan, because I think he's figured out a way to corrupt even Jerry Jones. I don't know if Jerry Jones can hang with Shad Khan. I know they've partied together a couple times, and Shad Khan just seems like he lets things come to him, whereas Jerry is kind of the hyper little dog that's leg humping everything and anything. Whereas I feel like Jerry might get around Shad Khan and feel like he has to try to one up him or something.
Mm.
So ultimately, that might be how the NFL finally rids itself of Jerry Jones, by him, you know, drowning in a vat of vodka or something.
With Shad Khan at the table.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if that happens, I'll reevaluate my take here. But for now, no handlebar mustache, bro.
You bought that team with cash, Sean.
I know. I'm afraid.
Cash.
Don't get me wrong. I'm afraid. I hated to go after the Khan family because his son, Tony Khan, owns AEW.
Oh,
which,
that's right.
Which I,
that's
yeah. Right. So, which I, you know, I'm a big fan of.
Hey, did you know when, oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The other day, your wrestling people, my God, do they have to settle the hell down.
Why? What happened? What did they do?
I said something along the lines of, like, I don't think I'd be a good wrestler because at some point, like, I would end up, like, you know, like, taking something too personal or just not being able to, you know, which I didn't mean, like, so that's all I said. I got so much pushback from one of our listeners. Like, yeah, every guy I've heard say that gets his ass kicked when he comes in and tries to wrestle. And I'm like, I didn't say I was going to beat anybody up over it or anything. I said I would probably get too sensitive. But I think he thought I was – he assumed what I was saying was like, yeah, and then I'd kick Brock Lesnar's ass.
Right.
Like, no. Right. It wasn't any – there was no part of me saying that. And he wouldn't stop with it. It was crazy, Sean.
No, Seth, those are not
your
my people.
People.
No, those are not my people. Those are not my people.
I'm very sensitive to that. Like, I try to, like, I'm very impressed by wrestlers. It is a brutal, brutally physical and hard job they do, professional wrestlers.
You went to AEW with me. There's about seven of us that went, and you had the best time of anybody.
I love that part of it.
If people were watching, if they just watched the seven of us on the front row, they would have asked, who's the biggest wrestling fan out of all those people? And they would have picked you.
Yeah, no, and like even when I say like I would get too sensitive about something, I know it because when I go to wrestling, I'm like I am such a sucker for, they're so good at like these huge expressions they use to where, like, oh, I'm going to look evil and menacing. And I'm sitting there and I see it and I'm like, that guy is evil and menacing. Yep. And I hate him.
Exactly.
So I feel like I would almost be a little too much of a method actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would start believing that one of them had abducted my fiance.
You'd be into it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not worried that I'm going to beat the guy up. I'm worried that I'm going to shoot him with a gun.
Yes. Okay? Yes. Like it's real life. Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.